Dr. Stanley Aronson, one of the architects of Brown University's medical school, has died. Dr. Aronson had a lengthy career that was more than just medicine. Now, joining me to discuss Dr. Aronson's legacy is Rhode Island Public Radio's Scott McKay. Okay, Scott, first of all, Dr. Aronson, Stanley Aronson, was one of the founders of the Warren Alpert Medical School at Brown University, where he was the first dean. What is his legacy there?
Well, he was beloved by both students and colleagues, and he was someone who cared an awful lot about mentoring young doctors and medical students. And I guess maybe all you need to know about him is that there's a plaque near the student lounge at the Warren Alpert Medical School, and what it says is that is dedicated to Aronson, who says that he's a man of, quote, remarkable humanity and erudition.
Now, he was also pioneering as a neurologist.
He was. He was one of the people who helped develop the test for Tay-Sachs disease and Lewy body dementia. He also was way beyond just being a neurologist. He did things like way, way back, many years ago, pioneering programs that tried to treat the whole patient. He was one of the founders of Rhode Island Home and Hospice Care, and he was very, very attuned to trying to bring families together when a loved one was sick or had dementia or a terminal disease, whether from infants, he did this with these support groups, up until folks were in hospice.
Scott, what was Dr. Stanley Aronson's early life like?
He grew up in Brooklyn. He was impoverished. It looks to me almost like the classic Jewish immigrant American story. He went to City College of New York, which, of course, became known as Harvard on the subway, and then medical school. He served in the U.S. Army in the Corps of Medicine.
Dr. Aronson was also a prolific writer. He was penning weekly columns for the Providence Journal until recently, basically. What kind of columns did he write?
You know, he was a polymath. He wrote about all kinds of things. Bob Whitcomb, the longtime editor of the editorial pages at the Providence Journal, told me that he hired Stan in 1992 and that his column morphed into one of the most popular pieces of writing in the Monday paper. It ran every Monday. He wrote about medicine a lot, but he also wrote about history, music, politics, religion. You know, we throw around this phrase frivolously nowadays. Well, he was a Renaissance man. The fact is, Stan Aronson really was a Renaissance man. He had an exuberance about him, but he also had a deep pessimism. He took a pretty skeptical view of history, and he was sardonic and very funny, both in person and on the page.
So what do you think Stanley Aronson will be remembered for?
I think there's so many things we'll remember Stanley Aronson for that he will be sorely missed in the Rhode Island community, again, as a doctor, as a teacher, as a mentor, as a medical researcher, and frankly, as a public intellectual.
Rhode Island Public Radio's Scott McKay, thanks a lot for joining us to remember Dr. Stanley Aronson, who was 92 years old. Now, Dr. Aronson's This I Believe essay from October of 2010.
In my 85 years of life, I don't ever consciously recall being asked to provide an inventory of my personal beliefs. These 85 years of mine have witnessed a safe childhood, the privilege of extensive formal education, about 5 years in uniform during World War II, and then a career in research medicine and teaching for about 5 decades. And all of this punctuated by a modest scattering of non-mortal illnesses, struggles, grievous mistakes, and a rare epiphany or two. My task now is to distill a set of personal beliefs from these many years. I believe, truly believe, in very little, although I yearn for and suspect much. I believe that tangible things do exist, including myself, and if there is one constancy in my conscious agenda, it is my fervent belief in skepticism, not cynicism, but rather the consuming thought that many seemingly firm beliefs are little more than hopes sustained by irrational, circular reasoning and dogmatic certitude, and that truth, or a rough reckoning of it, is arrived at only after rigorous and objectively verifiable labor tinged with skepticism. As I doubt that the housefly hovering near my pad of paper in Providence can possibly understand the poetry of Milton, no matter how hard it tries, so too do I believe that there are forces well beyond the limits of my understanding that may, or may not be, compliant with the known laws of nature. I do not believe in the chosen status or the alleged mission of humanity. Rather, I contend that we are but one of many living species, existing in obedience with rules much too complex for us to fathom. And while my personal system of beliefs remains quite fragile, I do attempt to live by a small number of precepts, beginning with the most fundamental aphorism of my medical profession, namely, first, do no harm. And further, I believe that our appetites for tangible possessions are endless, but that our natural resources are finite. Indeed, I believe neither in limitless cornucopias, nor even in the very idea of infinity. I believe in uncertainty, as I believe that science will allow us to lessen the domain of uncertainty and help us to come closer to the truth, but only an approximation of the truth. I remember, too, that there is a wisdom to insecurity, especially in the basic sciences. Absolute certainty remains an unattainable myth, a barrier to clear thinking, and is at best an opiate. I revel in diversity, and I believe firmly in compassion, candor, forgiveness, absurdity, free will, human perfectibility, interdependency, humor, and enduring partnerships. I believe that there are limits in our capacity to understand all of nature, just as there are limits to art appreciation for an eyeless worm. Finally, I believe that the ultimate enemy is not death, but bigotry and willful ignorance.